In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed are you who are anxious about money. Blessed are you who are dismissed by our culture as too old, too overweight, too thin, too ethnic, or too outside our gender norms. Blessed are you who are neurologically atypical. Blessed are you who have cancer. Blessed are you who have been sick for months without a clear diagnosis. Blessed are you who are mourning someone who died. Blessed are you who are depressed, and those who feel powerless to pull a loved one out of depression. Blessed are you whose child steals to pay for drugs. Blessed are you who feel needy. Blessed are you who are so lonely. Blessed are you who fear racism will kill your children. Blessed are you who feel angry and exhausted all of the time. Blessed are you who are codependent, and blessed are you who struggle with addiction. Blessed are you who are aware of a physical or emotional response as I offered this list. None of these things are themselves blessings. And yet, each person named is loved and seen by God. And that turns out to be a tremendous blessing. In today's gospel, Jesus had spent a night in prayer, and then the next morning chose 12 people out of a much larger group of disciples to be his apostles. He brought them into a clearing where a huge crowd was gathered, people who had come pouring out of Jerusalem and many, many small towns to hear him and to pursue healing. They sought him out. They rushed upon him and clutched at him in hopes of touching him. And they were healed. And then Jesus began with these words, "Blessed are you." And he looked out at the crowd and he saw the poor. And he saw people who were hungry and people who were exhausted from grief. He saw people whom others had written off as somehow outside of God's favor. Surely their predicaments were a result of their sin or the messiness of their lives, or at least marked them as unworthy. He saw people who were treated with scorn by the religious elite and by those who carried status within their culture. He saw a sea of nobodies. He saw what Emma Lazarus, the poet, would call, "You're tired, you're poor, you're huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore, the homeless, the tempest-tossed." Jesus looked out and he saw people who longed to know that God had not forgotten them. And so he told them, "You are blessed. I bless you. You have not been removed from the emerging kingdom of heaven. You have a place there. You too belong. Forget what you have been told about your value. You have a place at my table." Jesus says this to the people, and he says it for his new apostles. This was instruction to them to resist the urge to draw lines around who is in and who is out of God's favor. This was an illustration of God's desire to upend expectations, to form a very different kind of community that would stretch across the globe and welcome everyone into companionship with Christ. This was also a kind of warning to the apostles, for he says, "Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man." Blessed are you, he might have said, when your faith makes no sense to the people around you, and they actually find what I say to be offensive, and they rush to kill you on my account, which indeed happened to many of the apostles. Jesus then urges them in such moments to rejoice, recognizing that this is a good indication that they have actually been listening closely to God, as the prophets in the past had done as well. Today's gospel feels very similar to the teaching in Matthew's gospel that is commonly called the Beatitudes. And when I was young, I was taught that the Beatitudes were a list of things that I should try to be, for in becoming those things, I would receive blessings from God. But that really isn't the point of what Jesus is doing here. Because if we go off in search to accomplish and to do the things that will make us lovable to God, we fall into the same contractual system that Jesus was critiquing. We lose sight of the radical truth that Jesus came to pronounce. I already love you. I have always loved you. It is my desire bless you. The kingdom is yours to enter. And it is actually your endless hierarchies of importance and your striving to be good enough that gets in the way of experiencing the blessing that is yours to have. Let me love you. And that's what is happening in this gospel. Jesus looks out, sees the people who are collected and gathered before him, and recognizes the economic, the social, the physical, the psychological barriers that have kept people from feeling that they are loved and welcomed and included by God. And he says, I see you, and I bless you. As you draw nearer to me, you will learn to see the signs that I am with you. And you will be blessed as you experience this kingdom of God, even in the midst of the life you are leading now. Those who sneer at you, those who exclude you, those who take from you have no real authority to say how loved you are by me. You will come to see that, and it will set you free. Unlike the Beatitudes in Matthew, Luke's gospel includes a list of woes. Here again, we need to avoid the temptation to create a new list of outsiders, a list of people God refuses to bless. Instead, we can see this as a call to spiritual sight. Woe to you who have invested heavily in the security offered by money, food, prestige, or laughing at others' expense. For you are, even now, missing out on the kingdom of heaven that is actually available to you. If you are so invested in never being weak or vulnerable, you will miss out on the kind of community that I am building with you. And your own fear and self-protection will rob you of the joy I am making available. And it is never too late. You too can experience all of this blessing as you come to value the kingdom of heaven and the company you find within it more than the privilege you currently hold. The kingdom of heaven welcomes everyone. Everyone, even the people I don't want to be included. All the peoples shoved to the margins, all the people bowed down by grief or exhaustion or illness or longing, all the people who struggle at times to believe that God sees them or seeks them out, all the people who ever feel their own limits all too acutely, all have a place at God's table. So woe to churches who avoid living into that reality. Woe to churches who recreate social hierarchies and systems of insiders and outsiders. To do that is to miss the joy of the kingdom available to us. To do that is to forsake the work of practicing love of neighbor until it becomes a habit that governs our lives. Because churches are meant to be spaces where we gather across differences in experiences and cultures and status to encounter the radical hospitality of God, to witness the amazing things that God is doing in the lives of those around us and within our own hearts. On the day that Jesus said, "Blessed are you," he was looking out at a gathering of people. They had come out of cities, towns, and small villages to gather and encounter Jesus. And whether they realized it or not, to encounter one another, to look across the hillside and into each other's faces, and to witness healing and blessing. That is what church is. A chance to gather, to encounter God and one another, to look into each other's faces, and to witness healing and blessing as it unfolds. To witness healing and blessing in the midst of the very experiences that might otherwise lead us to believe we have been forgotten. God has not forgotten us. And we cannot forget each other. When we gather, we have the opportunity to bump up against people who sometimes cause us to feel less than totally comfortable. And then to learn what it is to love others when it isn't easy. When we gather, we have the opportunity to grapple with the griefs and the joys that others are experiencing, and to seek out God together. When we gather, we are here to witness one of our own as they quickly lose health and move toward death. We are here to pray with them and to receive from them as they find a way to say, "I love you," before they leave us. We experience that when we are here together. When we gather, we get to interact with young girls who ask probing questions about God that invite us to up our game in our own theological imagination. When we gather, we hold and are held by each other. And we witness God in a way that we cannot do in isolation. Blessed are you who come to church even when it still doesn't feel the same. Blessed are you who pray with us from home and grapple with your own readiness to return. Blessed are you whose bodies can't physically come to church and yet still are the church in a powerful way. All are blessed by God. All are welcome at the table. All have gifts that this church needs as it seeks to embody God's grace. Let us be church together.